Have you ever felt like giving up? Of course, if your answer to that is no, you're a superhero from another realm and another universe. The reality is we've all felt like giving up. Second question, you ever felt like making a snow angel? Why do I ask? This Christmas season, true story, my wife and I are both in our 40s. She's older than me. I don't want to get into it, but she said to me, true story, we were in a place here in Seattle that had snow on the ground. And she said, I want to go for a walk and make a snow angel. And I looked at her as if someone had taken over her body. And I said, are you serious? She goes, yeah, I want to make a snow angel. And so we walked outside and quiet, actually, very quietly. And she got down on the ground and she literally made a snow angel. And I'm just kind of standing there, and I didn't join her. I don't want to get in the snow and get my clothes wet. And maybe that's called getting old. I don't know. And I looked at her, and then she's laying in the snow, and she goes, I think I need you to help me up. And it's a true story. I'm standing over, and she's like, no, seriously, I can't get out of the snow. Like, you have to help me up. I have fallen and I can't get up. Trauma, which is deeply distressing or disturbing experience. That's what trauma is. It's when you have a distressing, disturbing experience at a very deep level. That's the definition of trauma. We're doing a collection of sermons on trauma. This is part three. Have you ever gone through trauma where it leaves you feeling like, I'm not going to get up from this one. I'm not going to come back from this one. See, when trauma couples with failure or weakness or falling or faltering or making a dumb decision, oftentimes deeply disturbing, distressing experiences can amplify our failures to a point we start to accept this is fatal. This is, in fact, my end. I have fallen and I can't get up. That leads us to one of the more famous passages in all the New Testament and one of the most interesting characters we ever get to witness, learn about, and hear about in all of Scripture. John chapter 8 records an interaction that Jesus has with a collection of men, some even priests, preachers, teachers of the Torah, and a woman. It says in John chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus walked up the Mount of Olives near the city where he spent the night. Then at dawn, Jesus appeared in the temple courts again, and soon all the people gathered together to listen to his word. So he sat down and taught them. Then in the middle of his teachings, he's interrupted by religious scholars and Pharisees who broke through the crowd and brought a woman who had been caught in the very act of committing adultery. And they made her stand right in the middle of everyone. Then they said to him, Jesus, teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Doesn't Moses' law command us to stone such a woman to death? Tell us, what do you say we should do with her? Now, they were doing this not because they cared about the woman or really cared that much for the law. They were doing this to test Jesus. Their hopes were to trap him with his own words and accuse him of breaking the laws of Moses. This is trauma. This woman is being used as a pawn. She's being used as a ploy. These men care nothing for her life, simply using her as bait to get Jesus to say something contrary to the law of Moses. It says Jesus didn't answer them. Instead, he simply bent down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Angry, they kept insisting that he answer their questions. So Jesus stood, looked up at them and said, let the man who has never had a sinful desire throw the first stone at her. And he bent down again and wrote some more words in the dust. Upon hearing that, her accusers slowly left the crowd one at a time, beginning with the oldest to the youngest, with a convicted conscience. Until finally, our last two verses, Jesus was left alone with the woman. Still standing there in front of him, he stood back up and said to her, dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? looking around, maybe looking up for the first time in the scene. She says, I see no one, Lord. He says, listen to these words. I certainly don't condemn you either. Go, and from now on, be free from a life of sin. I want to talk about trauma and how it affects our failures, how it affects our weaknesses, how it affects dumb decisions and dumb steps that we all have taken and will take. When you experience, as we have collectively around the world, deeply disturbing, distressing, painful, hurtful experiences, like global quarantine, global pandemic, injustice, inequity, it is very easy in the midst of trauma and drama to conclude that my failure is fatal. Just look at this woman. Just look at this woman. She's targeted, she's trapped, and she's taken advantage of. Think about it. No, she's a target. She's this trauma. She is seen to be sinning. By the way, there's no mention of the man she was in sexual intercourse with. There's no mention of him whatsoever. In fact, many people conjecture is, well, maybe he was a part of the group accusing her. How hypocritical, how ironic. This woman is taken advantage of. This woman is made to be put in the middle of the entire crowd that Jesus is speaking. So not only is she emotionally trapped, she is quite physically, literally trapped by a group of people, pointing out her weakness, pointing out her shortcomings, pointing out a poor decision, and everyone gets to weigh in on it or at least witness it. This is trauma. Trauma on top of failure oftentimes leaves us with fatal feelings, feeling like this is the end. It's over for me. I will never recover from 2020. What will Jesus say? I mean, let's be candid for a moment. The accusations against this woman, they're not wrong, are they? It's not like they're untrue. Now, they're incomplete because it takes two to tango, as they say, and she's not the only person that was committing adultery. There was a man, like we said, who's not recognized. So she is targeted. She is spotted. She is made to be the focal point, and it is unfair. And it isn't equitable, and it isn't right. And her weakness, her failure, her poor decision is now being taken advantage of. Her feelings are not considered. Her journey's not considered. Her future's not considered. She is simply being used as a pawn from those in power to trap Jesus. It's interesting because I think there is a lot of people around the world who must feel like this woman. In the midst of trauma, tragedy, pain, loss, the year that was of 2020 has left you feeling trapped. Trapped. I guess this is my lot in life. I guess this is just the way it's going to be. You know what? I got what I deserve. I made my bed. Now I have to lay in it. These are the things we think, and these are the things we tell ourselves. Can I ask an important question? What does Jesus say? What will Jesus say to you? And what will Jesus say to me? See, the truth is, the trauma of 2020, well, it didn't consider that coupled with that, we would fail in ways in 2020. Like any other year of our lives, we're going to make some poor decisions. We're going to involve ourselves in things that are unhealthy and are not beneficial and are not productive. And, well, the only difference is 2020 as compared to 2019, for example, is, well, the problem is compounded Because while we still have weaknesses and failures and shortcomings, and we err and we can be wrong, it's compounded by the trauma all around us. And my consideration and my concern as the pastor of Church Home is to speak directly to people who are experiencing the compound effect of trauma and failure colliding right now in your life. Do you feel like you have fallen and you can't get back up again? Maybe you feel like you have fallen, you failed, and you don't want to get back up again. You won't get back up again. I don't want anyone to help me. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. I'm weary. The truth is, when we fail, it takes courage, doesn't it? It takes strength, doesn't it, to get back up again? It takes a sense of desire and energy to say, hey, I'm going to get up. And I know it's silly, that snow angel that Chelsea made this Christmas, but she was just saying, hey, I'm not sure I can get up out of the snow by myself. And we laughed hilariously as we slowly, laboriously, I helped her out of the snow. Maybe for you, it's like, I don't really want to get up. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And if you're like me, sometimes I feel, like I said a moment ago, this is what I deserve. You ever just self-loathing? You know, you're like, this is good for me. I don't deserve to get up again. I don't deserve to have a second chance. I don't deserve to recover from this. I don't, you know what? I should always be known by my weaknesses and my failures and my shortcomings and the mistakes I've made. That's just the way it is. Well, there is an alternative. And instead of just listening to yourself, or maybe even listening to those around you who also tell you to stay where you are, that your failure is fatal and final, what if together, for the next few moments, we watch Jesus, we listen to Jesus, and we ask the all-important question, what will you say, Jesus, to my shortcomings, my failures, and my weaknesses? Because not only has this woman failed, but now she has been traumatized. She must feel so helpless and so hopeless. So let's go back to the story and make a few observations before we conclude today. Trauma, 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 and failure. Well, the Bible says these spiritual gangsters almost, these men have surrounded this woman and they are calling for her death penalty. They're calling for her life to be terminated by the pulverizing of her skull with rocks. That's how far these men have taken this woman's failure. In fact, they're insisting. Jesus is in the dirt and he's silent and he's writing things. He's doodling in the dirt and they just keep saying, hey, Jesus, what will you say? Isn't this what Moses said? Doesn't she deserve to die? And the Bible says Jesus gets up from doodling in the dirt, which, by the way, is a fulfillment of a prophecy by the prophet Jeremiah, which we won't get into today. And he gets up from the dirt and he says, well, whoever's never had a sinful desire, a sinful want or urge or surge, throw the first stone at her. And that was it. And supernaturally, I think, the conscience of these men is awakened. And from the oldest to the youngest, the accusers dissipate and disperse. And then Jesus asks a question to the woman, where are your accusers? This, of course, fulfilling the law as well, because there needed to be two witnesses and she was going to be one and he was going to be one. And there's some technical things going on here. And so he asks her the question. So she too will be a witness. And then he will confirm the witness, which is extraordinary how Jesus does this. He says, where are your accusers? And maybe for the first time, she wipes back her hair that was hanging over her face. And she looks up and she says, there's no one, Lord. And my favorite part of the story, he says, well, I certainly, the original language is emphatic. I certainly don't condemn you either. Go. You now can live a life free from sin. Well, my failure, coupled with trauma, tells me that's the end. Tells me it's over. I wonder if right now while you're watching this, your emotions have been telling you for quite some time during 2020 and now 2021 that you'll never recover. Your reputation will never recover. Your mental state will never recover. Your outlook on life will never recover. You'll never quite expect good things like you used to. You won't have the optimism you once had. Never again. This is your lot in life. What would Jesus say to that? Do you think it's fatal? Do you think it's final? Is your life over as you once knew it? I would like to say to you, not according to Jesus. Not according to, here's what Jesus would say to every single person who has felt the compound effect of failure and trauma. And it's left you wondering, will you ever truly live again the way you once did? Do you know what Jesus says? Number one, all have failed. Everyone's failed. Oh, Judah, we're not going to justify our failures. This is not justification. This is identification. This is honesty. This is truth. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. That's why there's that they call it the golden rule. Do unto others as you would want others to do unto you. Which is to say, when you falter and fail, do you want mercy? Do you want graciousness? Extend that to others. See, when we come to the conclusion, the truth of the matter that everyone has faltered and failed. See, this story, there's a gross element to this story. There's a horrific untruth in this story. And that is that everyone that circles the woman are better than the woman. No. No. But this is what we do, isn't it? We find people that we perceive to be worse off than us, and we point a finger, and by doing so, we think we will improve our overall emotional well-being, but it's cheap. It's like fast food. We think we're getting the nutrients we need, but you're not. It's a quick fix, and it only makes when you fail and when you falter feel worse. Have you ever kind of belittled someone for doing something and then find yourself doing the same thing not long after and the darkness is dense as a result? Because you're like, I've done the very thing I've despised. And they say, as you despise it, you think about it and the likelihood of doing it grows. We weren't designed to circle around other human beings, whether physically or literally, or even on social media. We weren't designed to tweet about other humans as if they're not human. We weren't designed to berate, belittle, make people feel small or less than. That's not, we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Saying if something's happening in the church and it has only just begun, Jesus is the great leveler. He's the great leveler. He's the great leveler. He's the great leveler. We're all broken. We're all messy. Someone told me recently, humans are messy. Their life is messy. Their days are messy. But God's in the mess. God makes up the difference in the mess. All have faltered and failed. You know what? I don't want to participate anymore. I don't want to participate in the gallery that circles around certain humans and make them feel like they're less than us. That's right. That's right. No matter what job they hold, I don't want to participate in that. I don't want to participate in that. No matter how public their life is, it doesn't give me the right to join the peanut gallery and take shots at people? That's a gross untruth. For I am the woman. You are the woman. There's only one person who deserves to stand and condemn this woman, but instead he's kneeling with his finger in the dirt. Wow. Oh God, let us get down on the ground with Jesus and no longer run our mouth with the gallery gossiping about our fellow human beings, for all have failed. All have failed. I know this may sound strange, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you at the beginning of 2021 and the trauma we have endured and are still enduring, you are not alone in your failure. You are not alone. If your emotions are telling you that it's just you in the circle, it's just you being picked out, it's just you're the only one, you're the only one that's done this, you're the only one that's failed, no one, everyone will be embarrassed. You can't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what you've done, because if you tell them, they'll be shocked because you're the only one that's ever done that. That's a lie. I'll tell you one person that can relate to you, this guy. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Number two, what does this passage tell me? It's that all can be forgiven. Oh, all have failed. But don't ever forget to follow it up with all can be forgiven. All can be forgiven. All can be forgiven. All can be forgiven. I said all can be forgiven. All can be forgiven. Who's the person you think can't be forgiven? They can be forgiven. What's the sin in your life you think God can't? It's forgiven. Listen to me. Even if people don't forgive you, God can forgive you. God has already made supply. God has already made provision so that you can be forgiven. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus became your sin. Jesus became your failure. Jesus became your shortcoming. Jesus became your weakness. Jesus became sin so that you and I can become right with God by not doing, by not deserving, by not earning, but by receiving. All can be forgiven. The Bible says from the youngest to the oldest. And I want to remind you again, that is exactly how Jesus forgives. He forgives your oldest sin to your latest sin and all your future sins. All can be forgiven, which means if God can forgive you, you can forgive you. I got a sense there's some people out there, you're watching right now, you're a part of Church Home, or maybe you're considering being a part of Church Home, and your biggest hurdle in 2021 is forgiving yourself for 2020. Forgiving yourself. How much has been revealed. Isn't it interesting, 2020, we said would be the year of clear vision, and we all mocked and scoffed and laughed because we felt it was anything but that. But if we're honest, 2020 has been a revealer. It's been a season where things have become clear, not just good things, bad things. Whoa, that needs to be addressed. That injustice, that sin. And maybe you can look back at 2020 and think, I'm a mess. And I would say I'm gonna have to agree, and so am I. But there is one who can forgive all your error, your wrong, and your sin. Listen to me, all can be forgiven. I don't know if it's the most important statement Jesus ever made, because I am not well-versed enough in the nuance of the New Testament to make such a statement, but I'll be bold enough on this day to say it is one of the more significant, emphatic statements Jesus ever uttered. He said, I certainly do not condemn you. I absolutely am not a proponent of condemnation and shame. That word condemn means oppress. That word condemn means to bring low. Jesus says, I will not bring you low. I will not oppress you. I will not make you small. The word condemn means to hold someone under. Jesus is saying, I will not hold you under your sin. I will not hold you under what you've done. I will not hold it over your head. I will not remind you. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so God has separated you from your failures and your weaknesses and your sins. And so contrary to popular cultural norms, you are not what you did in 2020. You are defined by what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Jesus says, I will not hold you under your weakness. I certainly don't condemn you. I certainly don't condemn you. I certainly don't condemn you. I wonder if you would be so bold even in the next few days to audibly speak out your failures and your weaknesses from 2020 and then follow those statements with saying, I lied in 2020, but Jesus certainly does not condemn me. I was a fraud in 2020. I faked it in this. I was lustful in 2020. I was selfish in 2020. I was racist in 2020. I was a bigot in 2020, but Jesus certainly does not hold me under, but he lifts me up. Because my last observation is very simple. All is new. Oh, all have failed, but all can be forgiven, and all is new. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Judah, it's just a calendar. I know it's a new year, but all isn't new. No, this is especially. This is what Jesus does. He makes all things new. He gives you a new perspective. He gives you a new expectation. He gives you a new sense of purpose. He gives you a new sense of identity. Why can't this be the beginning of something new? I'm here to tell you, this failure, this weakness, your propensity and proclivity for self-serving, selfish behavior, this is not your end. Jesus doesn't hold you up under your lowest moments in 2020. No, he says, come on, you need to get back up again. I'm going to help you get back up again. The Bible says, though a righteous man fails, falters, is weak, sins, errs, seven times, he will get back up again. All is new. And here's I'm coming to a close. Here's the word that really got me this time. And I have poured over this passage so many times over the years of being a preacher. It's such a beautiful story. But this time in 2021, right off the heels of one of the most, well, extraordinary and excruciating years in maybe human history, Jesus says, go. Go. You ever been at a stoplight that makes no sense? You ever been at a stoplight and it's like late at night, you're looking around, you're like, there's no one here. And you're like, when is the stoplight gonna turn green? Because there's no reason for me to be stopped. I think a lot of Jesus followers, even those considering follow Jesus, you are sitting at a stop sign that you're sitting at a stoplight you think is red and it's been green the whole time, but your emotions keep telling you, you don't deserve to go anywhere. So you sit there thinking, this is what I deserve. This is my bed. And now I have to lay in it. And Jesus says, go, go. In other words, this isn't your end. This isn't where you're gonna stay. This isn't what's gonna define you. It's time to go. It's time to go. See, we got a decision to make out of 2020. We got a decision, the trauma that we're enduring. Are we gonna go and grow? Or are we gonna stay and stew? I know those aren't the only two choices in life, but right now, they seem like the most paramount choices right now in human existence. You can go and grow, or you can stay and stew. You can stay and say, this person did that, and I did this, and I shouldn't have said that, and I wish I would have done that, but you know, it is what it is, and this is just my lot, and I'm done, and I'm never gonna have this, and I'm never gonna have that, and I guess that was a pipe dream. I guess it'll never happen. Or you can say, I'm going to go, and though I'm in pain, and though it's been difficult, and though there might be some regret, and though there are some things I would have done different, and I wish I wouldn't have done that, in 2020 was not ideal. It was not the year I was looking for. I'm still going to go. Jesus says, go, move, walk, step, progress. Is the pain so real you feel like it took your go? There is nowhere in scripture where it says to go, you got to be pain free. To go, you got to be weakness free. To go, you got to be sin free. To go, you got to be perfect. No, you can go. I want you to think of the circumstance in which Jesus utters the word go. Is she barely covered in a sheet? How many minutes ago was she sleeping with a man she wasn't married to? How dare Jesus say, Jesus, she needs therapy, she needs counseling, she needs reprieve, she needs to take a break, she needs to go. And all those things may very well be true, but nonetheless, I repeat to you and to me, go. Go where? Go on with your life. Go on with what God put in your heart. Go on with your dream. Go on with the vision God gave you. Go on to your neighbor's house. Go on to that city. Go on to that country. Go on to the next chapter. Live your life to the fullest. His grace is sufficient. I want to say this about Church Home. We are not wishing for days gone by. We are going forward. You can't go backwards. We're going to go forward. Jesus says, go. I want to say it again. In other words, don't stay here. Don't camp here. Don't stop here. Don't let this define you. This is not your end. This is not your final chapter. There is not a period after 2020. There is a dot, dot, dot. What's next for you? You know what's amazing about God? You thought a job defined you. That job never defined you. You've lost the job. Guess what? God's gonna give you another job. There's gonna be another job. You thought to yourself, my marriage is over, so my life is over. I'm here to tell you whatever you believe about from scripture, there is life after divorce. There is life after a breakdown of your family. Keep going. Go and grow. Let go. Don't hold on. All is new, not all is lost. All is new. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. His mercies are new every morning. It's new. It's new. It's new. It's interesting because if we didn't go to sleep every day, life would just go, go, go. Said this before, but God makes us, well, he makes us unplug and we sleep and then we wake up and it's a new day. Just because you fell yesterday doesn't mean you can't get up and go today. And so that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go. This go is from God. You hear me? This go is from God. This go is from God. When God says you can go, you can go. Have you stopped growing? Have you stopped anticipating further development, perspective, understanding, insight, wisdom? There is so much more to grow into, to go into, and to experience with God. Please hear me, Church Home. The adventure in front of us is going to be the ride of a lifetime. What an honor it is. I can stand here and say, I know what it is to get back up again. So, if you say, Judah, I'm good. I have not
fallen. I feel like I'm on my feet. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Then can you be a part of those in this community who help others up? Let us be a church that never circles around people and points a finger. Let us be the church that extends a hand to our fellow man so they can get up and get going for all that God has ahead. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for the minutes and moments we share. Thank you for what you're saying and what you're doing. We love you. Thank you for these stories, these ancient stories where we can see you and know how you will deal with us, speak to us, help us, save us, minister to us. We love you, Jesus. If you're here and you're watching, you say, Judah, I would like to become a follower of Jesus. You can't earn it, deserve it, warrant it. You just accept it and receive it. That's it. Simple as that. And if you receive Jesus right now as your Lord, as your Savior, as the superhero of human history, say this right out. Right out loud with me, I receive you, Jesus. Right now, say it right out loud, I receive you, Jesus, wherever you are. Oh, that seems silly. No, no, no. When you hear yourself say that, it will remind you this is real and it's happening in your soul right now. Every error, wrong, sin, totally forgiven, past, present, future. You are forgiven, loved, accepted. You'll be home in eternity with him soon. In the meantime, we're gonna get up and we're gonna get going, for we are forgiven forever.